Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go. We're rolling out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I am the Big Jack, and of course,
start spreading the news.
That means I think Schomburg Stu is here, as long as the switchboard brought him in. Stu, did that work?
I'm in the house, if
no,
you can
okay.
hear me.
There we go. Hang on. There we go. There we go. All right. Try it again. Just make sure. We should be all set. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we still haven't dragged Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time. And as always, feel free to forward me any questions you'd like me to ask Stu, and I will go about and do that. So there we go. All right. Now, remember I told you I had a new strategy for fantasy today, and I was trying something different?
Right.
Yeah, I decided, in case anybody doesn't know, normally I just play a dollar game. Today I decided to split that up into four different lineups and play four 25-cent games. I'm realizing the difficulty with this is I have to go back and continually check to make sure everybody is in the starting lineup. And then if they're not in the starting lineup, I have to go through and, you know, start swapping guys out. So I just double-checked and had to get rid of a couple guys. Now I've got to wait until the late games are announced because I have three guys, of course, each in a different lineup. They couldn't all be in the same lineup. So I'm going to have to check that out later and make sure they're all playing. So, yeah,
it sounds like it could be that difficult. It sounds like you might revert back to your old format. I don't know.
Yeah, unless I really cash in tonight or something. But, yeah, other than that, I think I may go back to just playing one game and checking on one game because it's a lot of work involved here.
Did you have any of the Cubs in any of your lineups today?
No, they did not qualify. This is what they call the main league that all my lineups are in, and the early game wasn't part of it. Yeah, that obviously they have
$100 tonight at least, right?
Well, you know, let's hope. I mean, I was crappy last night. I didn't even get to 100 points. Dan, on the other hand, did manage to cash $2 on his dollar bet. So we'll have to see. Still a little bit ahead for the week. But yeah, if I lose tonight, I would actually be a little in the hole. So I definitely need to.
If you had a great night, practically a perfect night, like winning the NCAA lottery thing or tournament, how much would you win? What was your max amount that you would win?
Give me 1 second, and I can actually double check the tournament I'm in, because I did put all four of my lineups in the same tournament. So yeah, I can actually pull those numbers up and tell you what first place would actually be if I somehow managed to capture that. I have finished first in smaller leagues before, but never a gigantic tournament or anything like that. So well, it is $12,000 in guaranteed prizes.
Wow.
So I do have that going for me, and let me see if I can find what the breakdown is for this tonight.
Well, maybe first place would be half of that. That would be nice.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, somehow I kind of got the feeling that's not how it works, but I, you know, I'm sure it's a few hundred bucks if I could win it. And of course, you know, now that I need information, my internet is going to run like incredibly slow. So we'll, you know, we'll have to kind of see how that goes here. All right, where is my rules breakdown that I can't find now? I don't need the weather. All right, well, maybe I can't tell you. I thought for sure it was on here, but I definitely not find it.
if you win $300 or $400 tonight, you'll have to let me know.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, definitely keep everybody updated on how this goes. But, yeah, for some reason I thought for sure they had it listed on here with, like, scoring and everything. But, you know, they, like I said, they for some reason they don't have it. Or either that or I just can't find it, which wouldn't surprise me at all. But
maybe you
could
do some research and we could talk about it on your next podcast next Friday.
Yeah, hopefully I can. Well, you know, if I, you know, like I know it's in when you join the league, you know, they have scoring and everything there involved as part of the breakdown, you know, scoring and payouts and whatever. But for some reason, I can't seem to find it on the on my actual entry lineup here. So I'm, you know, I'm sure it's out there somewhere, and everybody else probably knows where it is, and I'm just an idiot. But, you know.
You have cashed in at least in the top four or five on a couple of those larger tournaments, haven't you, over the years?
You know, I've had a couple. I don't know if I've ever managed to get into the top 10, but I've had some good winnings in some of those tournaments, you know, where I win 25 or 50 bucks. I haven't quite managed to win, you know, three figures yet, which would be, you know, really nice. So, I, you know, that's, you know, maybe that's a goal this year is to kind of improve. And, you know, it seems like every year I keep end up trying new things. I haven't found a system that, like, I'm comfortable with, and I keep wanting to do other stuff. And, you know, this is the first time I've ever employed this many lineups. So I don't know, you know, how it's going to work out, or you know, any of that stuff.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. And do they post the scores of the winners?
Yes. So yeah, you can go in. You can go in and see how everybody does. And here you go. I actually hunted it down. I need if I finish between 1,001st and 250th, I will get 60 cents. If I win the league, I will get $500.
All right.
But I have four entries among 23,952. So.
No, it's better odds than winning the lotto, right? The lottery.
Yeah. Yeah, and I need to finish between 301st and 500th with just one of my lineups to get my money back. So I think I have a pretty good shot of doing that.
Well, if you break even, it's almost like winning.
Yeah, you know, I'm always happy. Even, you know, like the one day I won 80 cents, I was fine with that. You know, obviously you would like to cash in and win, you know, something huge, but as long as I'm making money, I'm okay with it. I don't play for a living like, you know, some people do. And, you know, like I mentioned, I think a little bit yesterday, you know, I caught that show Action on Showtime, like I was emailing you about, and the guy lost between FanDuel's and DraftKings, he lost between, I think it was $50,000 and $100,000. But yet he's still at over $300,000 in his FanDuel account. So, yeah, I'm definitely not that guy.
When you say there's that much money in his account, though, is that, don't you have to start out with a substantial amount of money to begin with? Maybe he started out with that
kind
of money.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess if he had that kind of money to invest, like I started out with $25. So, you know, I'm still playing off my original investment, even though it's down to 15. You know, I'm still hanging around in there, so it would be nice to, you know, to have, you know, to add to that. But, you know, I guess, you know, who knows? Like I said, who knows what he started with, but I don't know too many people have $300,000 to put into a FanDuel account.
No, no. And you said there is actually some people that do this for their living? For their living?
Yeah.
They actually do this on a professional basis?
Yeah, they've shown them, you know, because with FanDuel now and even DraftKings, you know, there's baseball, football, basketball, hockey. You know, they do soccer, they do golf. You know, you can do NASCAR. They've really got just about every sport covered. So you can, you know, you can play year round doing, you know, whatever it is you've got going on. So there, you know, yeah, there are guys who are professional fantasy, daily fantasy players. As weird as that sounds.
Are they just competitive team sports that are involved? Or do they, what about the Masters? Can you bet on the Masters too, for example?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually gave me a free entry into the Masters. You know, when you play for a while, you start getting freebies to try to get your interest going, or maybe it's something you want to try. And, yeah, like this week I had a free entry to the Masters where you pick, I think it was 5 golfers. And, you know, obviously they compete as your team. You know, you're not just betting on one guy. So, you know, and right now I can tell you my entry is actually winning me 25 cents. Obviously I have to go through 2 more days. Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 6 golfers you pick. So that's where I am, and I have 250.50 points, and the leader at the present time here has 372.7 points.
Well, you're not all that far behind.
So yeah, if you know maybe one of my guys gets hot, and it does look like I'm probably going to lose one guy to the cut. I got a guy who's 2 over, so I'm guessing he won't make the cut. But my other 5 guys, unless Rory McIlroy chokes down the stretch, I should be okay and at least have 5 guys going into the weekend. So, you know, that's a plus.
So it's an accumulative. So if you have 4 or 5 guys and they all wind up 7 or 8 under par, you're guaranteed to catch something at least.
You would think, let me see who this top guy has and how his guys are doing. Yeah, he, out of his 6 golfers, he has 3 guys 7 under par, 1 guy is 6 under and still on the course. Actually, one of his 7 under guys is still on the course, too. He's got a guy who's 4 under, and his worst golfer is a guy who's at even. So depending on where the cut line is, you know, he may have all 6 of his guys who get through. So he, you know, he looks like he's in a really good spot. And, you know, I mean, for only 2 days, he's got a decent lead at 9 points.
Yeah,
you know, we'll have to see how that works. But, like, the guy behind him, it looks like he's guaranteed to all get all 6 of his guys through to the weekend. And, obviously, that's going to be the key because, you know, you're going to need guys to pile up. You know, to pile up stats for you. So the fact that they're playing 2 more days, you know, could be a really big deal.
It's almost like betting on the horse racing because you have to probably consider how these various golfers have done at the Masters in years past and how they're doing currently and take that all into consideration, the distance of the course. Are they suited for that kind of a long game or a lot of different factors involved in selecting your players.
So, yeah, and, you know, even though I think he is playing pretty well, I did not take Tiger Woods. So he was not one of my guys. I probably should have because I think I saw him earlier under, but I don't know if he stayed there.
He's 2 or 3 under the last I heard, but I haven't checked recently.
So, yeah, it was, you know, but, yeah, I know – nothing, you know, really nothing about golf. I mean, I know who some of the names are, and, you know, I watch a little bit here and there, but I, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, I had to take some, under the radar type guys, and I just kind of had to do a little reading and say, okay, well, I guess I got to take this guy's advice because there aren't too many people writing about fantasy golf. So.
Right, right, for sure. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The last I heard, someone from South Africa was right up there at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, I didn't. When I was watching it, they didn't show the leaderboard while I had it on, so I'm not sure who was where or even what the leading score was. But what does it look like here? Is it 7 under right now? Looks like that gets you to the top of the leaderboard. So, and it looks like there's a few guys tied there right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 guys at 7 under are currently in the lead, but 2 of them are still on the course, so that may change by the time. Looks like they got one guy has 2 holes left to play, and one guy has 3. So maybe one of those guys will go to 8 or even 9 under and end up being the leader after 2 days.
Yeah, so there's two big days to go. Of course, the weekend coming up.
Yeah,
we'll decide the story, weather permitting.
So, yeah, hopefully. I don't know. I was a little frightened because I just saw a forecast that said we're going to get between 4 and 5 inches of snow here on Sunday, so I was a little disappointed in that. But hopefully the weather will be better down there and they'll actually be able to get the tournament in.
Well, obviously they're further south, so snow shouldn't be a factor.
I just don't want 4 or 5 inches of snow at any point in time, let alone in one of those April snowstorms. So.
Yeah,
they
can be nasty.
But, all right, well, moving on, we only had one early baseball game today. We did have one postponement. I believe it was the Tiger. Was it the Tigers and the Twins that got postponed?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, it was snowing there, so they wisely decided to postpone the game.
So, but, yeah, the Cubs picked up, another win here. Is that 2 in a row or 3 in a row now for them?
Two, because they won 2 out of 3 at Pittsburgh. They won the first and third games against Pittsburgh, so this would make it 2 games in a row for them.
So, they picked up 5-1 over the Angels today with, the wind blowing out pretty well. Mike Trout is still out. He's got that day-to-day injury, so he didn't play. But, the Cubs basically picked – did they get all their runs off of home runs? I know we've got a
– Yes.
Wilson Contreras,
all of them were home runs. Bodie hit a solo shot, and then Rizzo in the first inning hit one with a man on. That's the extent of their run production for today.
Yeah, and then the Angels' only run came off a home run, too, as Albert Pujols hit one.
Yeah,
so.
He's hit a lot of homers at Wrigley Field over the years. Even on the downward side of his career, he still hit one, and he hit it. And he didn't hit a bad pitch either. It was a kind of a gulf. He gulfed a low pitch out of the park.
So, yeah, and then, fantasy-wise, if you do have Cole Hamels, he had a really good outing. Eight innings, just 4 hits. The one run, the Pujols homer, he struck out 6, didn't walk anybody. Obviously, he picked up the win. Tyler Skaggs took the loss, just 4 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs all earned. He did strike out 7. So that'll help you. And then we had a Ramirez and Jewel come out of the Angels bullpen. Ramirez did give up a run, racked up 3 strikeouts, so maybe he could help you there a little bit if you got him in one of your bigger leagues. But Mr. Fantasy and I have Cole Hamels in our money league, so that's going to be a pretty decent point day for us.
The Cubs have had 2 well-pitched games in a row now.
So, yeah, and, especially with the way the wind was blowing out today, Hamels – deserves, a decent amount of credit there for, he only gave up 4 hits. So, I think Pujols had half of them.
And I don't even know if he walked anybody today. I'm not sure if he even walked anybody.
No walks. So, just threw 106 pitches over the 8 innings. More importantly for the Cubs, Brandon Kitzler came in and didn't give anything up out of the bullpen. So that may be the saving. So...
Well, from a logical point of view, I have to say the Cubs are going to split over the weekend, in my opinion now.
Yeah. So, well, we'll get to that. That'll be our new game when we get to the end here. But
that's right.
Quick game, 2 hours and 29 minutes, and they had a little over 30,000. So You know, I know the sun was out, but it wasn't a really warm day.
It looked pretty cold. The fans are bundled up pretty well for today's game.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you're playing your guys in your weekly or if you had a daily lineup, Pujols had the two hits for the Angels. Jonathan LaCroix and David Fletcher each had one. You know, the Cubs, you know, it's a good day to have Wilson Contreras, 3-for-4 with, you know, a couple runs, couple RBIs. Alberto Almora, I saw, had two hits and added a stolen base. And then Chris Bryant, Rizzo, Bodie, Mark Zuniga, and Kyle Schwarber each had a hit apiece. So, you know, if you had those guys in, it you know, worked out a little bit for you. At least you got points.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't make many difference because Schwarber had a bunt single. That a hit's still a hit, right?
Yeah, you know, in fantasy, you know, I mean, depending on how your league is scored, obviously, you know, a single would be the lowest of the point totals. But, you know, like if you're in a weekly league, you just want the hit because you need to add up your, you know, your points for the week, you know, your hits for the week. So you take that no matter what.
Yeah, it's a hit.
So.
And it wasn't a robust attack except for the home runs, but they got the job done, and they're now 5-8 for the season.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, that worked out. And, you know, then I was looking and, you know, it's so weird when, you know, you look at teams and, you know, like obviously the Cubs got off to a bad start and, you know, there were a few other teams you could throw in there. But I'm really wondering if maybe it's just not the Yankees' year. You know, they started off, I think they had 10 or 11 guys on the injury list. And they ended up adding another guy today. Gary Sanchez, their starting catcher, goes on with a left calf strain. You know, you add this to, you know, the guy who was their number one starter, Luis Severino, is still on there. And it looks like he's going to be on there for quite a while. You know, Dellin Betances hasn't pitched yet this season. He's a big-time setup guy. Aaron Hicks, who kind of broke out with them in center field, you know, he hasn't played this year. And then Miguel Andujar played a few games before he got hurt, and so did Giancarlo Stanton. And, you know, I guess you got to be wondering if you're a Yankee, what's next?
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries. And I think it's because of me, primarily, that they're having all these problems. Because I picked them to win the World Series.
Is that what it was? You know, just one of those things. And then, you know, while we were talking about the Cubs, I forgot to mention you know, Victor Caratini going out. You know, he got off to a pretty good start as a backup part-time catcher. You know, he got that Hammett fracture with what a lot of guys seem to get. And, you know, he's going to have surgery. They'll probably remove the bone like they do, you know,
yes,
in general cases,
yes,
for that. But, yeah, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know.
On Monday, so it's about a month and a half that he'll be out of action,
yeah,
which is too bad. He's having the best start of his career.
So, yeah, you know, I know they called up Taylor Davis. I thought maybe they might try to add a veteran catcher, but I guess they're going to go with Davis for the time being. And then the Yankees brought back, I know he played quite a bit last year, that Kyle, I think it's Hisasaki or Hisasoki, he got the call up from AAA, so he'll split time with Austin Romine behind the plate while Sanchez recovers. But, yeah, a couple, you know, in the Yankees' case, a big-time catcher injury, and then, you know, the Cubs lose their backup, who, like I said, was off to a pretty good start. So.
Yeah, he was hitting 400 or 500, close to it, when he had the injury. And the funny thing about it, he got the injury, and then he still finished his bat and doubled in a run, the second run. With a broken bone.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't know until, you know, things kind of calm down and then you realize something is wrong. You know, and you're,
yeah,
kind of like, wait a minute, why does my hand hurt? And, you know, this has been a pretty common injury lately. So.
Yeah, they as you pointed out, now it looks like instead of correcting the problem, they just take the bone out because you don't really need that bone.
Yeah. So, yeah, that seems to be the way they go about it now. I know, I think that's what happened to the A's, Matt Olson, right before the season started. You know, he broke that bone, and, you know, they said they're just going to remove it. So.
Yeah. But going to take him a while to get back in shape, even after he's out of action a month, month and a half. You know, his timing will be off, and he's got to start all over again.
So, yeah, and then in former Cub news, I see that the A's appear to be on the verge of bringing Edwin Jackson back for another go-round. I really thought, after the way he pitched for the A's last year, I thought maybe somebody would bring him into camp and at least take a look at him. You know, he made 17 starts for Oakland last year. He was 6-3 with a 3.33 ERA. But he didn't pick up any invites. So the A's are gonna looks like the A's are gonna bring him back and kind of take a look at him and because they have a lot of young guys in their rotation. So we'll have to see if there's some magic there for them again.
This guy's made a career out of doing this, and he's had a long, long major league career.
Yeah, this will be his 17th season in baseball. So, and of course, well-traveled. I think the A's were his 14th team when he joined them last season.
Yeah, he's been around a few times.
So, yeah, just kind of, he did get himself a World Series ring, and he's throwing a no-hitter. Remember, he threw that no-hitter where he walked a bajillion guys. So,
he's
done that.
He's been a little erratic over the years, but he's cashed a lot of money, for sure.
He's 35 now, be 36 in September, and, I guess if they want to hire you, you might as well keep showing up, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll offer him a fairly decent salary, and he proved himself last year with them. He had a good.
Yeah, I was quite surprised how well he ended up pitching for them. They seem to have really really good luck with kind of guys go away and they come back. I mean, Trevor Cahill went there last year and pitched really well. I believe, Brett Anderson was decent there last year after coming back, but I think he just had a really solid outing here. I wanted to see what he had. He's actually 3-0 this year for the A's with a 2.50 ERA. I don't think anybody would have expected him to start off like that, but
not at all. But although Oakland has been off to a great start themselves this year so far.
So, yeah, and I know they, I think he had, Brett Anderson, he's had a bit of an injury history, as we know from the ill-fated stop in Chicago here, where he only managed to be here the 1 year and only made 6 starts because of injuries. He made 17 starts for Oakland last year. He wasn't quite as good as Jackson, 4-5 with a 4.48 ERA. But he's out of the gate rolling along, and the A's are at least over 500. They're 9-8, but Seattle is out of the gate on fire there at 13-2. But they're okay. Nobody else is really, like the Astros are 8-5, so they're right in the ballpark with them and the Angels, and then the Rangers are sitting there at 500. So it's not terrible for them.
No, and yeah, Seattle is off to a remarkable start, and didn't they set a record for consecutive home runs too?
Something like that. I think it was consecutive home runs to start the season whatever.
Yeah,
we're
off to a great start.
So yeah, we'll see if they can keep going. I mean, they're kind of the other team I root for because you need an American League team, and it's just one of those one of those things. But I'm afraid to watch their games now because I'm afraid I'll jinx them. So
if they're playing at home, you're not going to watch those games anyway because of the late starting time.
Yeah. Well, on the weekends I can. Catch those games if I need to. So, but yeah, I'm still a little superstitious about that. I did watch the extra inning yesterday. they went to 10 innings with the Royals before they got a win, and I watched that, and they pulled it out. But I'm a little worried that maybe I jinxed them tonight, and that they're going to get beat.
Well, they have the best record in the majors so far.
Yeah, and, you know, the weird part is, like, even in our predictions, I had them finishing in last in their division, and, you know, they got out to this fantastic start. So, as you can tell, I know plenty about what goes on in baseball.
Yeah, and also Tampa's off to a good start, too, in the American League.
Yeah. Real quick, here's the rest of the schedule tonight. Obviously, like I said, the Cubs got the win, and then Detroit at Minnesota was postponed. We got the White Sox at the Yankees, the Pirates at the Nationals, the Rays are at the Blue Jays, the Orioles at the Red Sox, the Phillies at the Marlins. Jake Arrieta pitches tonight there for Philly. The Mets at the Braves, the A's at the Rangers, the Indians at the Royals, the Padres at the Diamondbacks, the Brewers at the Dodgers, the rematch of the NLCS Championship Series. The Astros are they're in Seattle, the Mariners, and then we wrap up with Colorado at San Francisco. So that's the full slate tonight.
And by the way, it didn't take Cleveland very long to get to move into first place in the AL Central, did it?
No, you know, another team, you know, they kind of scuffled out of the gate. But, yeah, they really, you know, they righted the ship there quite quickly. And did they end up winning, was it five or six in a row or something like that? I think they lost two nights ago. They won last night. But, yeah, I think they had a five- or six-game winning streak. And, you know, they're a half a game ahead of the Tigers, who are a bit of a surprise coming out of the gate at, you know, 8-5.
Well, no one expects that to last very long.
No, and, you know, like you mentioned, the East, it's kind of strange because I don't think anybody, even this early in the season, expected Tampa Bay to be the only team over 500. But, you know, they're 10-3, the Yankees are 5-7, and the Red Sox are, you know, scuffling down there at 4-9. And I, you know, like I said, I'm just wondering if the Yankees are cursed this year and the, you know, the injuries are just going to bury them.
Yeah, it's really surprising to me what kind of a bad start that the Red Sox have got off to. No one expected them to be 4-9.
Yeah, we want to have a little World Series over, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, and then, obviously, the Royals are on the skid. They're, you know, they get won the first two games of the year against the White Sox, and now they've lost their last 10. So.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I wasn't really expecting them to come out and lose 10 in a row. I didn't expect them to be very good, but 10 in a row is a lot. You know, like, you know, to get to double digits.
Yeah. I haven't checked recently. I know that Soler got off to a very good start this season for a change. But I don't know if he's tapered off yet or not.
No, you know, I saw he had a really long home run the other day that I caught the highlight of. But, yeah, I don't know. I can tell you here in a second if his numbers pop up. It looks like 250 with three bombs and 12 RBIs. So...
Well, that's not bad in terms of RBIs, especially. That's pretty good for this early in the season.
You know, I think more importantly on the plus side, he's played in all 12 games this year for them.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. He's not hurt yet.
Yeah. You know, which has always been a major concern with him. He just can't seem to stay healthy.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Some players unfortunately have that injury bug and. It haunts them for their entire career.
So, yeah, you know, and then, you know, out west, I never really realized how bad of a start Colorado is off to. You know, they're 3-10 and have actually lost six games in a row. And, you know, were the Padres better than people thought? I wasn't thrilled with their starters, but they are 9-5 out of the gate.
Yeah, that's a surprise. That's definitely a surprise.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, if or what they can keep it going. But yeah, I really thought starting pitching would kind of be their downfall, just because they, you know, there's really, you know, no veterans. I mean, I don't know if you could call anybody in their rotation a veteran. And, you know, I know the kid who pitched last night was making his major league debut, but, you know, so good.
Well, remember that only 10% of the season has gone through so far, and there's a long, long way to go. Things will eventually even itself out, I think, and the top teams will be back where they usually are.
Yeah, you know, you always want, you know, you always kind of figure that'll happen, but you know, sometimes, you know, if you get off to a, you know, a strong enough start, you can, you know, develop that, you know, that little bit of confidence and maybe think you belong and, you know, kind of hang around longer than you think you should.
Yeah, I hope there'll be some surprise teams in the league that'll give the so-called contenders a run for their money throughout the entire season. That would make it quite interesting.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of, you know, you always kind of wonder what the heck is going to go on. And, you know, and then I meant to mention while we were covering it there earlier, I don't know if you saw this earlier, but, you know, former Cub, I don't know, remember how long he was a Cub. I know he was here for a few seasons. Scott Sanderson passed away today. He was just 62.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Quite unfortunate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks like
he spent many years in Montreal too. A lot of years with the Expos.
Yeah, he 6 years with the Expos as well. You know, yeah, he was a 500 pitcher for the Cubs, 42-42. So.
Yeah, he had throat cancer, yeah, which was very, very sad to hear about his problems.
Oh, okay. But yeah, you know, looking at it, I mean, he had a couple. You know, he had a 17-win season, a couple of 16-win seasons. So, yeah, you know, he was a, you know, decent guy. Always solid, always seemed to give you innings when you needed them.
But
I saw that today. You know, the one thing I remember about him is I remember him coming out of the bullpen for the Cubs in a game and ended up pitching like 8 innings out of the bullpen. I don't remember if the starter got hurt or what happened, but he came out and just, you know, filled in. I was like, geez, I think it was against the Pirates. So.
He had a decent career in the majors, and it was really sad to see what happened. I did not know that he was sick until I saw what happened to him. But quite sad. Only 62.
Yeah, no, I didn't really see him. Yeah, you know, and then again, another one of those guys who actually played for both Chicago teams. You know, he spent a year with the White Sox as well.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. You know, he's not a Hall of Famer, but you know, he had a really good, really nice, solid career for a long time.
Yeah, he did.
So.
He did. He had longevity, and he had some nice years, as you pointed out, and had a decent major league career.
Yeah. Oh, but all right. Well, you know, switching it up here as we roll into the NBA playoffs, where just like the NHL playoffs, there will be no Chicago team. I see that the Lakers are still pretty much a dumpster fire after, you know, Magic Johnson just kind of walked out without telling anybody. Today they decided that it's time to send Luke Walton packing, and he's done after 3 seasons as a Laker coach. I guess this isn't really much of a surprise, right, because LeBron didn't like
him. No, you knew that he was gone after the season.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they kind of handle it. Because right away, you know, the first name that came up was Tyronn Lue, who was the guy LeBron wanted in Cleveland, and they actually did win a championship together.
Yeah.
I don't really know if that's going to work. There is some mention about Monty Williams, who's currently an assistant with the 76ers. But I'm kind of under the impression that this is going to be Lou's job and they're really not even going to go anywhere else, especially now that Fred Hoiberg has a job. I mean,
Right. Now that Fred is back at where he belongs at the college level, but I think you're right. I think that the former Cleveland coach will be the new coach of the Lakers. I think that's just a virtual given.
So, yeah, I just, I, I don't even know if any other, you know, names will even come up. I was a little surprised that they decided to go away from Walton. He does have 2 years left on a contract. So they're going to be paying, you know, paying him for a couple years. You know, there are some other names here that, you know, I guess when you report on it, you got to try to find other things. They mentioned Jason Kidd and Mark Jackson, who, you know, are both, you know, they both solid, you know, they were both really solid, you know, pretty to a point, pretty good NBA players. I just wonder if guys with, I think maybe the ego they had could, I don't know, maybe say defer to LeBron or work with LeBron like that. Do you see either of those guys working?
No, I don't think so. And, of course, don't forget about Tom Thibodeau is available also to take over.
I'll see if I'm going down the
line. I don't think he would get along. He would probably not get along with LeBron.
Next thing they go with is Doc Rivers, who's currently employed by the other L.A. team. You know, this was a rumor a few weeks ago, and Rivers came out and completely quashed it. You know, another guy, here's a hard-headed veteran NBA coach. I don't think he works with LeBron. Does that?
No, I don't think so. I think that the former Cleveland coach is going to be the odds-on favorite to get the job with the Lakers.
If you're interested, they do have some young guys. I don't think any of these guys would get the job, but I'll run through the names here. They mentioned Darvin Ham, who's on the staff of the Milwaukee Bucks, Juwan Howard, who was a long time NBA player. Amin Udoku, who is on the San Antonio staff right now. Jaren Collins, who was a solid NBA big man, has done some assistant coaching. I don't think we'll see any of those. And then, of course, the biggest stretch, and, you know, you always got to do these kind of things, Mike Krzyzewski, who is very fond of LeBron, and LeBron did say if he ever did would have went to college, he would have went to Duke. I just don't see the guy leaving the program at Duke to come try to coach LeBron.
No.
But what the heck,
it's
fun to talk about, right?
Yeah, it's always fun to speculate those things, and I wonder how long it'll take before the Lakers make their decision as to who the new coach will be. Are they going to take their time? Is it going to be a quick turnaround in a day or two to make their selection?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. It'll be interesting to kind of watch and see where they go. I will be really shocked if it's not Tyronn Lue, because I don't really know if there's another LeBron guy out there. So I think it's gotta be him. You never know. I was surprised they fired Walton, especially after Magic leaving, because I know Magic wanted him out, but Jeannie Buss really wanted him to stay, and obviously she's the owner. But somebody must, I don't know if they somehow agreed, got her to agree to it or what happened, but I can understand not wanting to pay 2 years of a deal. And, you know, in reality, Walton is looked at as a really good young coach. He didn't have to work with, and then you give him James and you think, okay, here we go. And, LeBron didn't, he had a decent year, but he definitely wasn't the best player in the league.
Not this year, for sure. Not this year. But they seem to be a very dysfunctional organization for some reason. Did you see the story about who was it? Ball was, they nixed surgery. He wanted to have surgery on his own, and which is his ankle, and the Lakers says, no, you can't have the surgery. So they are really in disarray this year.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I don't understand why they wouldn't let him have the surgery if it would correct his problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There is a little article here, and it does say that, I think the problem may be is the surgery wasn't arranged by the Lakers. It was arranged by Alan Foster, who's the guy who stole the whole bunch of money from the Balls, and Alonzo's father, good old LeVar, set this up with a surgeon in Ohio that they used for a problem that LiAngelo Ball had had. He had surgery there. So that may be the issue, is the fact that they weren't going through a Laker-approved doctor.
Well, maybe he will have the surgery done when they finally find someone that the Lakers say, yeah, he's going to be the guy that does the procedure rather than who they wanted to have the procedure. And you can't really blame them for that. I mean, that's something that they have to have some kind of say in the matter, it seems to me.
So, yeah, definitely not. I mean, obviously, you know, he's on his rookie deal. You know, there's a lot of money invested in, you know, those deals. So, you know, you're obviously going to watch that and make sure that, you know, everything is on the up and up, so to speak.
They certainly have their problems this year.
But yeah, and then you know, don't look for Luke Walton to be out of work too long. I guess the Sacramento Kings are already planning an interview with him, so I won't be surprised if he's hired rather quickly by somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll hook on sooner than later. Yeah, he's a hot coach right now, and even though he was terminated, I think like you pointed out, it won't take him long before he's the head coach of another company, another team.
So, and now, you know, the playoffs are kicking off tomorrow in the NBA. Are you buying or seeing any early upsets? You got any of the lower seeds being able to knock off the higher seeds there? I mean, you got the Clippers knocking the Warriors out of the playoffs in the first round?
I somehow don't see that happening, but there could be some upsets, but You don't see an 8 beating a 1 very often.
No, so that's very rare. Like in the East, it's Detroit against Milwaukee. I don't know if the Pistons are gonna be able to knock the Bucks out of the playoffs, but
I doubt that. And Milwaukee wound up with the best record in the league.
Yeah. You know, I was a little surprised. I saw a lot of people thinking that Orlando may be the first round upset team by beating Toronto, but I don't know if I bought that. I thought maybe more Indiana beating Boston, even though I don't know if that would be considered an upset. But everybody, I heard three or four people, you know, kind of look at Toronto and, you know, check out what they're doing, and I was like, oh, okay. But I thought Toronto was pretty good.
Unfortunately, though, they always seem to falter in the playoffs, and I wonder if that was leading into some of these upset selections, because they just don't seem to do well when the playoffs start. They've had a history of that for many years.
Kawhi Leonard, aren't they? I mean, you know, he's a proven NBA championship caliber player.
Yeah. I could see the speculation, but I think that Toronto was not going to have too much problem dispatching Orlando.
You know, and I do wonder, you know, maybe Oklahoma City is the upset pick. You know, they come in as the sixth seed. They're matched up with Portland. I guess a lot would depend on how banged up Paul George is, you know, on if they could kind of maybe pull that upset off. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them beat Portland.
It's a possibility. Yeah, if I were a betting man, the one I would think would be the Indiana-Boston series. I think that India has a chance to surprise in that one. I think that'll be a close series.
You know, and I do wonder how Indiana would have done if they had their best player. You know, they played almost a quarter of the year without Victor Oladipo, there's no chance of them getting back at all. I mean, he's done for the year.
No,
still ended up 8-34. So, maybe they figured something out and they're okay.
Yeah, that should be an interesting series for sure. But it's hard for me to generate any kind of interest in the initial round of the NBA playoffs. And I have a feeling the ratings aren't going to be very high.
No, and you know, and I know you're curious. The Bulls ended up with the fourth worst record in the league. You know, and like all the draft experts are saying there are three game-changing players in the draft, so they're going to have to figure out a way to move up a slot to get one of these guys. Otherwise, they may be stuck on the outside looking in, and they could be in mediocrity for even longer than predicted before.
Well, they have a chance of moving up when they have that Lalo thing going. And it's not
the
only
a 12.5%
shot as compared to a 14% shot. So there's a possibility of moving up, and it does happen. Look what happened with the Blackhawks. They shocked everybody by really moving up in the draft. They're going to be drafting number three.
Well, you know, the team that's going to shock everybody in the NBA draft moving up is going to be the Lakers, now that they're in the lottery. You know, they'll definitely go as – I don't think they can go to number one because of where they were. I think the NBA changed that rule a few years ago, but they're definitely going, going to be moving up.
Yeah. But you see Williamson going to anybody but New York?
No, I kind of think that, that's where they want him. I would be quite surprised to see, Cleveland or, I'm trying to think who the other team, Phoenix. I don't think they're going to be bouncing up there. It's, if they can't figure out a way to get him to L.A., New York is the next best place.
Yeah, when the Bulls got Rose and the Knicks got Ewing, I was a little suspect when those things happened.
Yeah. So, well, as you should be. Those, no matter what anybody wants to say, it was fixed. call it what you want, however you want to look at it. Those things were completely and utterly fixed. You know, the rumor always was with the Ewing thing was they froze the Knicks card. So that's when they used to pull the cards out, and it wasn't the lottery balls. And this way the commissioner knew which card was the Knicks and when to pull it out.
Yeah, there's been that rumor going on for years, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was true.
Yeah, so it just kind of, one of those fun things you get to deal with. And I've heard, the weighted lottery ball issue, there's been stuff like that going on, and just how these things work out. I mean, obviously we'll never really know, but that's always been the rumors that are out there is the way they do this. And, it doesn't surprise me at all. And, sometimes you got to do what's best for business, right?
That's right. What's best for business. You don't see that though, those speculations in hockey, do you? You never see that in hockey or football.
Obviously have a draft lottery, so that's not an issue. But I did see somebody on my Twitter feed, and I forgot who it was because it was a retweet from somebody else, talking about how the NHL lottery was fixed so the Blackhawks could move up. But I was just kind of like, I haven't followed much of the NHL lottery, so I don't know how that works out.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but of course that was a huge jump. I mean, what did they move from 12 to 3?
Yeah. So, but all right, here I have decided that we are introducing a new game for Stu because he is the longest reigning Cub fan out of the people who actually host this podcast. So we're going to throw some fun stuff at him here, and now he does have the advantage of knowing what happened today. But Stu, we have two more games with the Angels this weekend.
Yes.
And then they
yes.
have a three-game series with the Marlins. So I'll give you the Angel pitching matchups first. We got Kyle Hendricks tomorrow against Chris Stratton, and then Tyler Chatwood makes his long-awaited 2019 first start of the season against Trevor Cahill. Basically, what I'm looking for is, do you have the Cubs managing to win this series?
Yes.
All right, and then
ask me if they're going to sweep. I will say no.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll add that in here. Then I'll work that out for you here. Now and then, you know, they're going on the road. They're not getting a day off. They're going right to Miami. And the matchups here, we got Yu Darvish against, I think it's Trevor Richards, Jose Quintana against Lopez, and I'm drawing a blank on his first name right now. And then Cole Hamels comes back against Sandy Alcantara. Same questions then. Do they win the series against the Marlins, and is it a sweep?
I'm a little bit reluctant to say sweep at this stage of the season, especially the way they've been playing. But I will predict that they will win the series against the Marlins. But I will say 2 out of 3.
All right, no sweep there either. Okay, so we're all locked in and all set then. And then just looking ahead here, next weekend we have Arizona for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then a 2-game series with the Mariners that you'll have to work through when we get to your game again. So we will see. You know, we'll remember how Stu did this week and, you know, check up on him as we move along.
Yeah, I want a lot of congratulations from all the fans next week, even if I don't get on until next Friday when I'm correct in both of my predictions.
Yes. So I will, when we are done, I will pop that out on our Facebook page, and it'll go out on the Twitter feed so everybody can see what Stu has going on. Now, have you managed to hunt down any of the NHL playoff games yet? Have you checked in on that, or will you check in on that, I guess?
I look at it very briefly. I believe that the Hurricanes, was it yesterday, they gave Washington a battle. They came from behind. They made it a battle, but they still wound up losing them in the first game, if I'm not mistaken. That's about the only one I noticed.
Yeah, well, I did manage. I caught the first period of Tampa Bay hosting Columbus, and Tampa Bay was up 3-0, so I went away from the game, and Columbus came back and won 4-3. And Tampa Bay had the best record in the league.
Yeah,
so,
that's upset.
You know, they're matching up. They're matching up tonight. We got Pittsburgh at New York, with New York leading that series. It's the Islanders, not the Rangers, 1-0. St. Louis at Winnipeg, and Winnipeg, or St. Louis is leading that series 1-0. And then Vegas at San Jose, and San Jose is up in that series 1-0. So those are the four tonight you got going on, and it's a CNBC, NBC Sports Network night if you're looking for the games, because it can be kind of difficult to float around and find those hockey games at times.
I predict that all those series will be 1-1 after tonight.
Well, I really need Winnipeg's to be 1-1 because they were my pick to win the title. So they have to bounce back and get me a win. Otherwise, I'm going to be looking really bad as my prediction there.
You don't want that to happen. And surprisingly about some of those upsets, though, yeah, with Las Vegas losing the first game, and I think they'll come back and tie that series.
Yeah, well, you know, the NHL is the place where you seem to get those in the playoffs. You know, I mean, how many times have we seen an 8th seed win the Stanley Cup? So
yeah, sure. Yeah, very competitive. You know, a lot of balance in the NHL. And we're hoping, of course, that the next season we'll see the Blackhawks back in the playoffs again.
Yeah, that would be a big plus. Huh? All right, but there we go. We'll be right back.